Protocol, the podcast where we talk about returning to 40k. My name is Doug, and with me are my two co-hosts. First of all, there is...
Hi there, I'm Andy.
And I'm Daddy Chris. Hooray!
You really wouldn't believe that we actually, you know, talked about that introduction. That was terrible. Okay.
Well, we've got the actual point across. Everybody knows who we are.
Yes, okay. That'll do then. So yes, ho ho ho, welcome to our Christmas / end of year episode.
Christmas.
Yes, please don't sing.
What?
Yeah, this is our last episode of the year, so we thought we'd do a bit of a different format. We're going to do a bit of a top three from what's gone on this year. But before we get on to that, we'll do the normal sort of roundup of what people have been up to. Andy, what have you achieved in the last 2 weeks?
Sod all.
Good.
Been extremely busy with work. Like I say, I don't really think I have done it. That's actually a lie. I painted my painting, cleared up my painting area. There we go.
You're an inspiration to us all.
I am.
What about you, Chris? You've had nothing better to do, have you?
So apart from being really good at cleaning nappies out nowadays, I've done a little bit more painting on my Dark Angels. And then since it was my birthday last weekend, I've got a big pile of new toy soldiers that I've started putting together. So I built the Dark Talon kit at the start of this week, which is sat there quite happily now. And then I've got some other bits and pieces to be doing over the next couple of weeks over Christmas.
Cool. Happy birthday.
Yeah, all going well. Thank you.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
So,
that canopy.
Yeah, you're going to ghost tint one of your canopies, aren't you?
I'm just trying to decide on a colour. Not yet. I've got it down to four. So I'll either go purple, red, green, or gold with the colours I'm kind of thinking about. So a lot of research into different ways of doing that. So we'll see. We should see how it goes.
Red is edgy.
I've seen people using the badger ghost tints for that sort of thing. Is that what you were planning on doing? Or
There's different ways. So the easiest one is kind of like retributor spray and do it on the inside. I've seen people do it with the Games Workshop inks. I think they're more the old inks, which I've still got in my paints box. I've seen airbrushed versions, hand-painted versions as well. So there's lots of different ones. I think I might just hold off a little bit until I've decided how I do the black, which I think I'm going for like a highlighting with a greenish turquoise kind of colour over the black rather than doing the standard grey.
Cool.
For my Raven Wing vehicles, and then we'll see what suits that. So green is probably the most likely, I think, at the moment, but we'll see. We've got a bit of time to learn.
Cool.
Nice.
So I went to a GT Heat 2, which I will talk about in a bit, and I took my Death Guard, and I've decided I want to do something different now. So you probably remember I've been... collecting a Tau army, which I'm still enjoying, I'm still planning on doing, but I've got my heart set on Blood Angels. I really have. So, I'm going to be selling off my Dark Eldar. I'm going to keep my Harlequins, so I can do a Harlequin army at some point, because they're pretty cool. But I'm going to do a Blood Angel army. And the main reasoning behind this is, so I'll talk about the GT in a bit, but I've come back sort of thinking, I'm going to set myself some goals, and that is to go for, hopefully win, but probably not, but go for best army and most sporting or most fun opponent. And the way I see that working at these sort of tournaments is best sporting, you want to have a fun, competitive army that gives you close games. So people don't really want to get absolutely smashed by the latest super tech. And they also don't really want to roll over you, because neither of those games are fun. So what I'm aiming for is an army that can give you a really good game, and you don't know who's going to win until the last sort of turn. So that's what I'm aiming for like the army. And then I've got an idea I've been talking about on the podcast about Blood Angels being space vampires for ages. And I actually thought, you know what, I'm going to make them a space vampires. So I'm going to planning on converting them all up, have lots of sort of vampire-y wings and head swaps for a lot of them, and do as many cool things as I can, and put a lot of time painting them, and I'm going to do them as flesh eaters. Yeah, so flesh tearers are ones everyone knows about, they've actually got a name character, whereas flesh eaters are the a very minor chapter, so I can sort of write a lot of my own background about them. And yeah, so that's the plan. Blood Angels. I've got a box of Primaris sat downstairs. I've ordered a Stormcast Eternal kit, the Vanguard Hunters. When they first brought out Stormcast Eternals for Age of Sigmar, they all had these sort of weird helmet designs. And then more recently, the new kits have had bear heads. And the heads seem to be about the same size as Primaris Marines. And they've all got sort of long flowing hair and stuff. So plan is to take those heads and use them on the intercessors and see how they do. So yeah.
They're nice.
Yeah. Could look really good.
Whoever came up with the idea of doing flesh eaters, absolute genius. I think that's a very subtle nod back to Rogue Trader, since they were in the original Rogue Trader army in the rule book originally. So yeah, they've been there. They were one of the original legions before it kind of changed out, if I remember right. And they weren't a legion anymore.
So yes. Thank you for suggesting that, Chris.
That's not a problem.
one of the annoying things, and this is my main bugbear for Blood Angels, I don't know if it's happened in other ones, is it specifically says when you're playing a successor chapter, you don't get any of the name characters, and you don't get any of the relics. You have this sort of one relic that you can have as a secondary, as a successor chapter, which is Naff. So
I don't mind that.
Do you not?
No, basically, I think if you've got named characters, you should paint up the army, but I don't know, I think I'm really right-wing on that stance, you know what I mean?
I mean, named characters, I can understand, but the relics just seem like it's stifling your creativity. Because in the end, what's going to happen is everyone who's got these beautifully painted, converted armies are going to turn up at a tournament and go, these are Blood Angels. Whereas they could turn up and go, this is my Flesh Eater army or my Flesh Terror army. But they're just going to be forced if they want to have like the best stuff. And it is like almost half a book's worth of new stuff you can't have if you're playing a successor chapter. Which it just seems, I kind of understand fluff reasons, but it just seems like it's encouraging people not to do something cool. Which
It's a bit weird though, because obviously I've got the Dark Angel Codex, and although I've only glanced through it, I haven't had a chance to have a proper read yet, but from what I've seen, that isn't in the Dark Angel one. So I'm not sure. Obviously, I just go back and have a proper read, and people may well correct me that I was completely wrong by saying that, but I've not seen that in our book, which is a bit weird, but I'll go and have a nosy.
I'd be interested to see if that is the case. I know there's a lot of sort of frustrated people. I'm on the Blood Angels Facebook group. I know there's a lot of frustrated people like that. I really want to do this cool colour scheme, but I also want to go to tournaments and play with the latest new things in the codex.
I think that kind of feeds back a little bit into your, I want to do well, but I want a competitive army. So yes, you might lose out a little bit on some of your tournament points by not placing quite as high, but you may well be more likely to get favourite game votes because you have got something that's not the most powerful format of a codex. So although it's a bit demoralising that you can't have funky toys that don't really exist, if you can play without and still do well, you'll do better for it, probably.
Trouble is, you're basically essentially playing the index version forever with a couple of stratagems.
Well, it's kind of halfway between, isn't it? It's more powerful than the index force because you're not just using one set of relics and stuff like that. Like there are indexes. So, yes, there is only one relic, but you've still got access to a better troop, plus you've got your chapter tactics and everything like that as well.
Yeah, so that's true. The chapter tactics are amazing for Blood Angels. For those who don't know,
at the end of the day, it's not a copy-paste army, mate.
Yeah, totally. The army that I've written is a full-on brigade with no named characters in it anyway. And lots of cool options. And basically, I've picked all of the models that I like the look of and I think I can do something interesting with, whilst also being hopefully a fun game. So basically, I've gone for, has it got a jump pack? If not, nah. So I think pretty much my entire army can fly, including my Dreadnought.
Yeah, I think if you just go and embrace that, and people will see that in your games that you play and go, oh, this is a bit novel. I'm not going up against Mephiston and Dante and the Martyrs and running against the average net. You've got something a bit different. Same reason you kind of look at Primaris forces that don't have Cullman in them and go, oh, actually, that's quite cool because the Primaris are really nice models. And here they've been done in different colour schemes and Big Bobby G isn't there with them. And, and they're not.
That is my plan for February. I'm playing an Ultra Serm army that's not going to have Robo Giggly Fist in it.
Cool.
Hooray.
I just want to see what you can actually achieve with just Primaris and probably some Scouts thrown in for those lovely mortal wounds.
Yeah, I think he is a massive force multiplier, but I'm sure you can still do well without him. The thing that I've discovered, this being my first real Marine army, is that Primaris, I really want to buy all the models because they're super cool, but in an army like Blood Angels, where you want to be charging your opponent on the first or second turn, your Primaris are sort of struggling to keep up. Either they have to have a repulsor, which is 350 points and can transport 10 of them.
That is my main problem at the moment, lack of transports.
If I could put jump packs on them, be brilliant. Even if I had to pay loads for it, that would be so good. And I just have loads of jump pack Primaris. But I'm probably gonna have to buy a lot of the older models, which is sad. But if I wanted to play a non-fast army, I probably wouldn't be playing Blood Angels. It seems a bit silly to be a Blood Angel gun line.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Obviously, with this being your first, you've done your Imperial Fist, so it's not your first Marine army as well. But having done the Primaris side of things, I built all the Dark Imperium, that two sets worth of Marines as Ultramarines for my company, and then I've done half a set and some extra bits for my Dark Angels so far. Going back and doing the original Marines seems really weird because they're so small and diddly in comparison.
They don't look right, do they?
Yeah, so I'm kind of working, so I'm doing my Deathwing next, so it's kind of halfway between. It's kind of helping us ease back into doing Power Armor Marines again, having done the Mark 10 stuff, and Terminator stuff, and then I'll be ready when I get to do the Ravenwing bikes and everything that is a bit more fiddly in comparison. It's a bit weird to go back to that, but there we go. It's the way of the world now, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah, that's what we've been up to. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the Warhammer 40K Grand Tournament Heat 2. Back in days of old, Games Workshop used to run a fairly good tournament scene, and then they backed away from it quite a lot during their dark period. And it was always very popular from what I am told. And then with the release of Age of Sigmar, they ran the Age of Sigmar GT, and that's been incredibly popular, really well received. And obviously they've decided to do it for 40K. So this is the first year in a while that they've run it. It was at Warhammer World. It had 80-odd players, I think. And it was 2,000 points, 3 detachments, and everything had to be painted. I think those are the only rules. And it was really good fun. So I'll just talk about the list I played. So I was playing Death Guard. I had a battalion. I had a Demon Prince with wings as my warlord. I had Typhus. I had a bunch of Poxwalkers. I had a very small unit of Plague Marines. I had some Death Shroud Terminators. I had a Hellbrute with a missile launcher and a las cannon. I had a Fetid Blight Drone with 2 Plague Spitters. A Plague Burst Crawler, which is the cool wedge-shaped tank. And I had Mortarion. as a super heavy auxiliary detachment. I also has a auxiliary support detachment with Araman in it. Now, quite a few people have said boo, boo, boo. I felt a lot better about taking Araman in my second game, where I sat down against someone who had Magnus Mortarion, the Super Lord of War Tzeentch Demon from Forge World, which is the size of a Titan, and about 40 Brimstone Horrors and two Malefic Lords. No, four Malefic Lords.
But we don't know that guy, so technically you are now the cheesiest power gamer. I'm sorry, Chris, but the title's gone, mate. Okay, Doug has surpassed you.
So
he's the worst.
He is the worst.
I'm kind of regretting taking it because so many people are taking a piss. But it's really, the GT is not really meant for fluffy lists. Now, I say that, but the first game I played was against a chap running pure Harlequins. And I was, I built myself up for playing some proper face smashy lists. And I sit down against Harlequins. Lovely bloke. Lovely army. It's the reason why I'm keeping my Harlequins, as I said earlier. So I'd like to do the same sort of army. I think it was really cool. It seemed really good fun to play, and I absolutely smashed him. basically, he had no answer to Mortarion, so Morty just bounced around, murdering everything. My second game... Oh, sorry, go on.
I was just saying, the evil path is rubbing off on you.
Yeah.
So you're off smashing people off the table. You're a bad person now, Doug.
I am a terrible
person. It's like we don't know him anymore.
You know, my second game, as I said, I ended up against this awful, awful, awful demon list, which in the end ended up finishing second. But again, he was a really, really nice bloke. Genuinely fun to play against. I would have given him my best player vote. Which may have actually meant he won the tournament, but I'll go into why I didn't later. It taught me that even though it was a horrible list that I really didn't have much of a chance beating, I still enjoyed it. His army was beautifully painted, everything was converted, all the basing was really well thought through. So we had a sort of unified basing scheme of sort of this really nicely done sand. And all of the Nurgle demons had sort of water bits, so Mortarion was standing on a pier, sort of going out to the sea, whereas Magnus had some sort of crystals coming out, and it was all really, really well thought out. And I really enjoyed it, even though he absolutely destroyed me. And it just, made my point that just because you're going to a GT and you're bringing these powerful lists, it doesn't mean you still can't be a nice bloke and have fun. So that was really good. And then,
did you get any pics of that army?
I did, I'll post them up later, actually.
Please, because those bases sound intriguing.
Yeah, we spent about 10 minutes before we started again just talking about them, and he, as I said, he was rare to do well, but he was mainly rare to have fun and play his nicely painted army, and I think that's what you need to do well at these GTs, because especially these ones, you don't get a clear winner. You don't play enough games to get a undefeated winner. So a lot of it is down to sportsmanship points and painting points. And in the end, the people who win have won all of their games and have the most sporting and most painted awards for people who won all of their games. So you can't turn up with your badly just spray-painted army and expect to win. You literally cannot win, especially if you're being an unfun player. It's just not how it works. So I really like that aspect, because it encourages all the bits of a hobby which I think are important. And my last game of the day was miserable. It really was utter misery. The guy, very nice guy, but he'd bought his Gilliman list, and I think he had 7 Redemptor Dreadnoughts. And a repulsor with a librarian in it. And he just stood in a line, and I ran towards him, and he shot me. And that was it. And I think he felt bad about it afterwards, because he was very apologetic. And he said, I'm not going to play that list again. It just doesn't seem fun.
After the fact.
Yeah, I don't know. That sort of took the wind out of me a bit. I tried to enjoy all the games I play, even if I'm losing. But that one, there wasn't really much option I had to actually do anything. It was literally, this turn I'm going to advance. Yeah, it wasn't great. But anyway, that was my first day. And then on the second day, I got snowed in. So, because I live in the middle of the countryside, when it snows here, it proper snows, and there's no such thing as Britters. So, I didn't go to day two. So, I didn't get to play the rest of my games, which was sad. But I've got my ticket to the Age of Sigmar Heat 2. If a ticket for Heat 3, if the 40k one was to become available, I'd probably try and get it. And I plan on going next year and hopefully winning Best Painted or Most Sporting with my Blood Angels. So, yeah.
Best of luck with that.
Thank you. I'd really recommend GTs if you're at all competitive. I don't think Andy would enjoy them, for example.
I would rather hammer nails through my mum parts.
Yeah, but I also think you don't need to be a win at all cost player to have fun. The guy playing Harlequins, I'm not sure if he won a single game, but he seemed to have a blast. I went with quite a few people who were having a really, really fun time playing some fun games, challenging games against, you know, people you don't normally get to play in a really good venue. And yeah, I think these sorts of things are what you make of them. If you go in with the attitude that, you know, you need to win, then you're going to, you know, probably come out with a different result to, I'm going to go and play some cool armies, and if they beat me, then fair play to them, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, like I said to you before, I'm not totally against tournaments. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the one in February, but mainly because I know I'm going to be going up against people I know, mates, who I never get to play usually.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm actually looking forward to. I was chatting with Shoes earlier, and he was telling me about his army that he's taking, and I'm really looking forward to getting tabled by him. So, it's going to happen.
That's the thing, really, and I think, yeah, I think they are what you make of them, and if you go in and go, I'm looking forward to playing this army, I bet it's going to smash me, but it'll be fun anyway, then, yeah, you can have a good time. So, yeah.
I just think it's different when you know your opponent, you know?
Maybe. I personally like playing strangers. I like playing my friends as well, but I like playing people I've not played before, and seeing new things and coming away going, oh, that was so cool when you did that. I've never seen anyone do that, etc. I think it's one of the best things about wargaming is that you get to meet a bunch of people from all over the country and look at their armies, and yeah, I really enjoy it.
Each their own.
Yep, indeed. So let's get on.
At the end of the day, that's all it is.
Let's get on to the meat and to veg of the episode.
What, asking Chris if he's... Is he actually sanding the floor?
I think that might be my cat trying to get into the room. I've closed the door, and he doesn't like doors being closed, so he's scratching at it.
Fair enough, because you know that I was asking if Chris was doing DIY, not yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to do a best of the year. So we've each thought of the top three things that have happened this year, and also the top three things we'd like to happen next year. So we're going to go around and talk about them a bit. So let's start with the person who's been most quiet. Chris, what's your third best thing to happen this year?
Hang on, I've created a list. That's how seriously I took this. So let me just find this and bring it up.
Check you now.
No, it's not bad. I was feeding the baby before, so I had a chance to use the phone with the other hand. And let's have a look. So number three on my list for the year was the Gathering Storm campaign section that we went through. So obviously it came in phases. The first phase included the release of Celestine. It also included Belisarius Call and it included Greyfax. And it kind of set the scene for moving towards 8th edition. So from there, it then moved on to the Eldar ones that I can't pronounce, so we'll just gloss over those. And then, yeah, and then the most important bit was probably the return of Gilliman into the storyline and as a model in the 40K universe that came along basically just before 8th edition hit, basically. Massive change for the direction of Games Workshop. The model, obviously, is a bit Marmite for the Gulliman model. Some people love it, some people kind of hate it because it's a bit too cartoony for them, perhaps.
Really?
But it's kind of, yeah, just a lot of hate towards Gulliman.
I don't like his head. I just don't like his head.
Use the helmet then.
Yeah, I would do. But...
that's exactly what I did. I thought he looked a bit derpy, so I put the helmet on.
And yeah, and basically that kind of set the scene. Obviously, we'd already seen Magnus appear earlier, which was the year before. So we knew the Demon Primarchs were going to start appearing, and obviously another one that's come along since then. But to actually see a Primarch for the Imperials to come back was a pretty massive thing. I think people knew it was coming. It was a bit more secretive than Magnus, because obviously Magnus got leaked really, really early. And so did Mortarion, but Gulliman stayed a bit more secret. It was a bit more of a surprise when he did show up. And it's kind of set everyone's expectations now towards which other Primarchs are going to start appearing. I think everyone's going to run on the assumption we'll see two new ones a year for the foreseeable future until we see however many do come back in the end.
It would be nice if they released all of the Loyalist ones. I'd probably end up buying them all just for, well, like a showcase, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's a new novel that's come out, or about to come out, called Ashes of Prospero. And in there, there's different visions of that Najal Stormcallers had about seeing all the different Loyalist Primarchs that are still doing the rounds. So there's no mention of Leman Russ, which is, gives me the suspicion that he's probably going to be the next one that will appear. But Johnson gets a mention. Korax gets a mention. Jigati Khan gets a mention in there. I think Brokal Dawn's another one as well. So, yeah, interesting to see, I think. And then, obviously, you'll have your Demon Primarchs to go with it. So I would suspect Angron's probably most likely to be next, but it could be Fulgrim, one of those two.
Angron is definitely going to be sooner rather than later. He's just too popular a character, in my opinion.
It's going to be an amazing...
Yeah, and it depends if they go with a bit of a rebranding of Slaanesh, because we've had some Khorne stuff, and you have to go tie it into what's come out for Fantasy. We've got some new Nuggle bits and pieces that are coming in January, so a new Great and Clean one, I think. The new Beast of Nurgle's coming as well, and it's whether they do Fulgrim next to go with that, or if we go for the Angron side. So, interesting either way. I think you have to look at what's different to the previous one. So, Mortarion, big winged one. Angron's winged as well. So, maybe they'll go for Fulgrim next and then do Angron. But it's interesting times. So, yeah, that's mine.
Wasn't there a leaked picture online that looked like, you know, like snakeskin, you know, like segmented body sort of thing?
Yes. I think it's whether it's a bit too small or you can never quite tell. So,
no, we'll see. Not just from a close up pic.
Yeah, which is what those rumour teasers are supposed to do. But we shall see, basically, see how it goes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cool. What about you, Andy? Your third best thing?
Weirdly, looking at my notebook in front of me that I quickly wrote down about an hour ago, my third point was the plot moving forward, which is essentially what Chris has just said, with the start of that campaign, with the Primarch coming back and Call and all that lot. I'm liking the fact that 40K finally feels like it's moving forward.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think for years and years it's been stagnant and getting a bit boring, and you know all of the fluff and absolutely everything that's happened, and pretty much the only thing to look forward to in a new codex is they might put a battle that happened 10,000 years ago in it or something.
Yeah, or here's a new character. You know what I mean? It's now at least it feels like when your codex comes out, you might have lost characters.
Yeah, I mean, most of the Blood Angels died in the Blood Angels codex. It was pretty cool. And Sanguinius was in the Blood Angels codex. he did stuff in the Blood Angels codex in the fluff. So it's really exciting. And you don't know what's going to happen next. And I think that's the most exciting thing. Like, which Primarch's going to turn up? who's going to die, what's going to happen, and there's exactly. so much mystery, and I think that's the best bit of 40K is what's going to happen next, what's going yeah. on.
Abaddon actually getting a win, you know, and nobody saw that one coming.
Well, I mean, he's so popular now at the Town of Horus, and what was the follow-up called? The Dembski Bowden books,
Ugh.
Which are about Black Legion.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. And they've really turned Abaddon from like a cackling maniac into a proper badass. If you haven't read them.
As it should be.
If you haven't read them, I seriously recommend it. They are some of the best, not just 40K books, but some of the best sort of sci-fi fantasy books I've read in a long time. Really, really good.
I don't know if you've seen it. Dembski Bowden did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit about a week or so ago, and he talked about Abaddon, and he was saying about, obviously, he's written the Abaddon. I don't know if it's two of them, I think, there was a moment, possibly a trilogy,
yeah,
but
it's
going towards trilogy.
Yeah.
And saying that people within head office didn't realise that Abaddon was kind of nicknamed Felbaddon and various other kind of derogatory names towards him. And they're starting to see that now, that where he's kind of seen by the collectors or the public, shall we say, compared to how he's envisioned by head office. So there was a bit of a mismatch. So it's a really good thing. You can go find that online and actually have a read through. It's a really good. I think he's probably the best author of which I've got at the moment, novel-wise. So he's really got his head screwed on.
Are they not connected to the net at head office?
They were. They literally unplugged themselves for a while.
They must have done.
Because if you recall, they deleted all of their Facebook profiles, they deleted all of their forums. They did spend a few years ignoring the net. So I can understand how they're only just rediscovering this.
I think, well, it's officially they were disconnected. I think there still would have been authors. There was people from head office. So on one of the forums I used to be on for Horus Heresy before it took off in a big way, he became one of the big authors and editors for Black Library. So the people were around online. It was just a bit more low-key and unofficial rather than an official presence like we've got at the moment. So, it's going the right way.
Fluff moving on, it excites me. I want to buy codexes about armies I'm not going to play just to read what's going on. It's just genius. So my third best thing is the Primaris Marines. Having just bought a box of Intercessors, bloody hell, those are some awesome models. They are proper stunning. And it was tough to pick between them and the Death Guard. But it's lovely to see new armies with new models coming out. I'd like to see more of them, but I think that release, absolutely brilliant. I can't really fault it.
Yeah. Spot on.
Cool. Chris, your second best thing.
Let's have a look then. So my second best thing was kind of a bit broader than just 4K, but Warhammer TV. Which is obviously linked to, obviously, 40K because they have their 40K nights, but that's been going for just over a year now. I kind of got into it. I've had my 8-month subscription kind of notice come up. It's time for me to resubscribe again, but obviously it's kind of really taken off. And as an actual thing to keep you motivated, you can actually see and stuff and have been able to interact with people in head office and watching the tournaments live, it kind of fills that enthusiasm. So I've watched countless kind of tournaments for 40K and for Age of Sigmar as well nowadays on there that when they show them, especially some of the independent events that they also cover. And it's on 4 nights a week now on the actual thing. So there's plenty of information. And if you're a subscriber, you can go back and watch the other videos that you might have missed. That made my number 2 slot.
Cool. Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's really good and consistently entertaining. Okay, Andy, what about you?
My number 2 slot is Primaris Marines.
Oh.
Well, for years I've been wanting true scale Marines, but I'm really not much cop at converting. Well, it's more a case of I can't be bothered. So, and for them to finally release a box set, and you're there going, okay, number 1, this looks like a big, tall dude now, you know, stood next to a guardsman. Number two, the armor actually looks functional, like it could actually work, as opposed to how does he walk? And they're an absolute joy to paint. That's mainly it. I don't think there's been a Primaris release so far that I've not liked. I even like the Repulsor. Come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Primaris Marines are a big win in my eyes. And unfortunately, for some people, I even like the excuse they gave for why they're now in the story.
I don't, but I can see why.
To me, it was a nice, simple explanation. Look, we've been building these guys in secret for 10,000 years. Move on. And for me, that worked. Rather than have it long and convoluted and, I don't know, the Eye of Terror spat these guys out fully formed, blah, blah, whatever. Just the fact of, yeah, it's a bit boring, but it's the case of, this guy's been working in a lab, he's done this. Great, let's use him. And that's as simple as it is, that's why I like him.
Fair. So my second thing is quite a new one. Is it last week or a week before? They put a post up on Warhammer Community saying basically how they're planning on doing FAQs and rules fixes. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So if you didn't read it, what they said is, we're aware that we've been releasing far too many FAQs. It's getting far too hard to keep up with what's going on. So in the future, when a codex is released, they will release a mini little FAQ just clarifying anything which got caught, didn't get caught in the edit. Then they will be doing all of their major rules adjustments and point adjustments in chapter approved. And then once or twice a year, they will release a major FAQ which is just to stomp on anything that is ruining the game. So anything that is massively undercosted and is winning all the tournaments, they will deal with it in some major FAQs. And I think, A, it's brilliant that they are actually making an effort to balance the game. It's the one thing that a lot of people complained about. It's the one thing that made 40k not a very good game to play competitively. And they are putting in effort to do it, but also they are making sure that it's done in a controlled, really sensible way, which means that everyone can hopefully know what the rules are at the same time, rather than going, oh, you didn't see the FAQ got released like a week ago. Oh, no, that got overruled a week after that. So I think that's really good and really positive.
I wasn't a fan.
You weren't a fan?
Just put it out there. No. I read through the entire thing and I didn't find one thing I disagreed with, so that put me in a mood.
Okay. you next, Andy. No, we've done you. We've done you.
Yeah,
your top choice.
My top choice is probably the same as your two top choices as well, I would assume. But 8th edition is probably the thing. It's the whole reason we're here on the podcast, to be honest, is 8th edition came along and we all got inspired and keen and started painting armies and started to do a podcast for some crazy reason. So I think just the tidy up that they did, and obviously creating the new story, obviously the new rules to go with it as well, it's kind of panning out quite nicely. And a couple of months on, I'm still quite happily painting armies and still playing games very occasionally at the moment, but with the aim of getting there. And then, like Doug said before about wanting to go to more tournaments, that's my plan as well. So I'm also trying to fight for a Heat 3 ticket if one appears. I've got permission to go to that. And then, obviously, when the next set of Heats come along, I'll go for those as well. So, yeah, so I'm keen, which is a nice place to be at.
Cool. What about you, Andy?
Pretty much what Chris said, just in a northern accent. Honestly, he pretty much covered the vast majority of what I was going to say on it. 8th edition came out and it reinvigorated us all with Keen. And, you know, as I said to you earlier, Doug, people are going on Facebook every day, literally putting up pictures of what they're painting, etc. And it's really nice. You know, that's pretty much it. I'm okay. liking something that's nice. So there we go.
Well done.
I know, I'm growing as a person. I'm going to get fired, aren't I?
So I've got a bit more specific in my top thing. So obviously it's 8th edition, but the thing what I like the most about it, the thing what I think is the best thing Games Workshop have brought in, and it comes from Fantasy, or Age of Sigmar, is the three ways to play. And finally they're saying, some people really like playing win at all cost stuff. Some people really like playing narrative and themed events where they reenact stuff from books. And some people just like playing with their mates while they have a couple of beers. And you know what? All of those people are valued customers, and we want to support them all, and we want to encourage them all. And I've got so many mates from different scenes, from sort of playing in competitive things, from people who just like building and painting. And it's so nice seeing all of them be able to enjoy the same game. And I think that three ways to play is the biggest work of genius that Games Workshop have had in years. And I think it's brilliant.
That's fair enough.
Cool. Why has Andrew's messaged me to say, you've got mates, ?
I didn't want to say it on air. I thought it might be rude, but if you read it out, it's not.
But that's never stopped you saying stuff on air before.
I have never been disrespectful to you before on this podcast.
No, we all save it till afterwards and before we go on the podcast.
Yeah, we usually get out of our systems. It's like, what's the best word? Purging our Tourette's.
Oh, God.
Cut that bit out if you want.
No, I don't. Moving swiftly on, Chris, what are you looking forward to next year? Or what are you hoping to get?
Let's have a look at my big list again. So, should I do all three? That's probably
quicker, let's do all three.
Okay, so number three, I'm hoping that we get a bit of a multi-release summer. So they used to do things years ago. We would get a few kits for different races or different factions would all come out at the same time or roughly the same time. Whether they do that in their new style, I don't know, we'll see. But
They might do. They're just doing that in Age of Sigmar at the moment. They're releasing, they're having a big sort of event, which is a death
the
Signs Importance, and I think it's going to be a massive release for death, but they are releasing models for all of the major factions to go with it.
So seeing things like I've got here Admech transports, maybe some re-releases of characters like Phoenix Lords in plastic, things like that, so I'd love to see that. Next one is probably a bit more doubtful, but Horus Heresy box set 3. So we had Kalth, we had Prospero, so seeing a third set of that, although we're probably not really going to be playing Heresy anymore because we're all so keen on the 8th edition rules. They're such great sets with some really nice kits in them that they do transfer over to 8th edition quite nicely, so something there maybe with assault troops or breaches or things like that. And then number one on my list, biggest fanboy moment, but seeing the Lionel Johnson Primark model. I don't think we'll get him next year. I think we'll get Lehman Russ first, but I can live hope, cross fingers and toes, and hope for the best, really.
I think if we were going to get him, he would have come out in the Dark Angels Codex.
Possibly, but then Gilliman didn't come out with his Codex. He came out as a campaign. So if we get him, I don't know, we'll see, because Magnus did come out, so did Mortarion, but Gilliman didn't. Whether we get another campaign, there's rumours doing the rounds that there might be a Dark Angels versus Sanesh campaign and various other bits and pieces. Whether there's any truth in them, we don't know. We'll see. But I would think if we're going to get a Loyalist Primarch, it'll be March, April time, which is roughly the same time as Gulliman came out this year. But I'd expect it to be Lehman Russ and for us to get a Space Wolf Codex at the same time. Again, that Ashes of Prospero book that came out had some really big stuff in there that's happened story-wise. So obviously, there was that vision talking about the Primarchs, but loads of the Horus Heresy era Space Wolves have come back. So Bulvi, the 13th Company Lord, has come back into their background now.
Hey, cool.
What's the name of that book again?
Ashes of Prospero. I think it's about to come out, or it's just come out.
I'm going to keep an eye out for that because it sounds interesting.
Cool.
Yep. There we go. So hopefully we'll get a Lord Bulvi model and they might go a bit different. And you see lots and lots of Horus Heresy kind of era models coming out rather than the virus. But we'll see how it goes.
Cool. What about you, Andy? Your three things to hope for in 2018?
Number three is Plastic Sisters of the Battle.
Yay.
Because I'm actually wanting to do a Sisters Army because it is something very different and also something I've never done before. But trying to source the metal at the moment at reasonable prices is, it's just not doable, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And also, I think the miniatures are due an overhaul, and if the standard is anywhere near what they did for the bodyguard for Celestine, be amazing.
Yes, definitely.
Second one was more Primaris types.
Yeah.
As in, they've got gaps there that need filling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I like making scouts. Well, characters, I can give or take, you know what I mean? Because to me, if you've got a captain in your force or whatever, that becomes a character anyway.
I guess
you know
so,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I mentioned the other day on the Facebook group, I don't paint honor markings on my characters because they never survive. I'm going to start painting an honor marking every time they die. So they'll look like a North Korean general in no time. And also, I don't know why, but I really want to see Primaris bikers. I think that could look amazing.
Yeah.
I know some people can't stand bikes. You
I
know,
don't
some
like
people say
bikes,
they don't fit 40k, but...
But if they had Repulsor bikes, that would be so cool.
Mm. Oh, and it would have to be a Repulsor, you know what I mean? Because, well, they've got the anti-grav Repulsor already, so you might as well go for jet bikes or some kind of grav bike.
Yeah.
Which could look really good. And my first choice is an actual official campaign.
Yep.
I think we'll get one. We had one this year anyway, didn't we? So we had the Ultramarines vs. Nurgle stuff and that was released. So I think that's going to be the standard to bring it back now.
The campaign this year was a bit disappointing, I thought. It was very, you're either on the Imperium side or you're not. You have to go into stores to register it. I know why they did that, but I mean, this year they released for Age of Sigmar a actual campaign book, which seems very cool and getting lots of good feedback. I think it was called Firestorm. So it'd be interesting to see a campaign book. And I think they are copying a lot of the good stuff from Age of Sigmar for 40k, so I would not be surprised to see a proper campaign book to maybe go along with a global campaign, and I think that'd be super fun.
Age of Sigmar is a perfect example, isn't it, of something that was done so wrong at the beginning, now done so right.
Absolutely.
It's not a game that I play, but I followed it online. And when it was first released, you're there thinking, oh, what are they doing? And then they've obviously listened to people and they've changed stuff around. And now you've got this really good game, which they're following on with 40k. So as long as they don't screw it up, it's all peachy.
I took the piss out of Age of Sigmar so much when it came out.
I remember.
And I will happily go on record now as saying I think Age of Sigmar is the best war game out there. I think it's better than 40k. I prefer playing 40k because of the models and because I know more people that play it. But I think Age of Sigmar is better.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. I think football's better than all of those games, but, you know, that's just me.
So, my things to hope for next year. Number three, Plastic Sisters of Battle. Yay! I just think there's so much fan outcry for them. I think it'll make so many people happy and it'll be cool. Number two, do something to make sure every army isn't led by Gilliman. Whether that's either changing his rules or encouraging other things or another Primarch that does something in different ways. I just love to see, and I understand why people take Gilliman. What I don't want to see people being, you know, told off for taking Gilliman. I want them to have other options that diversify what you see on the table. That's my number two. And number one is new models that aren't for Marines or Power Armor. So, Xenos. I mean, if you play Eldar or Orcs or Necrons, there really hasn't been much in the way of new models. You're not
as
getting
as is right and proper.
You're not getting like cool Primarchs turning up. The Eldar did get the Triumvirate, which is pretty cool, but I think it would be nice to see new releases and big, cool, sort of effective releases for the Xenos races, as well as just, you know, the Marines versus Chaos. That's my number one thing to hope for next year.
That's fair enough. It would be nice to see some massive orc characters.
And also, like, new orc boys, and some of the Xenos models are so ancient and really put people off collecting the army. So it would be lovely to see a big... They've done big new releases this year of Space Marines and Chaos. Sounds like next year we're getting more Space Marines and Chaos. So it would be really nice to see something else come along as well.
I'd agree with that. More variety.
Yeah, it'd be good.
Stops getting stale.
They released something on their rumour engine thing yesterday, which is very clearly an Eldar. It's got spirit stones on it. You can see it. So they're obviously going to be releasing these models in the future, but I'm hoping that rather than, you know, a one-off, here's a new Farset model, they get a proper, here's five new things or six new things, new model sets. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, it's fair.
So, yeah, I think that's our yearly coverage, or my words have failed me.
That's because you drink at work.
I drink at work.
Review.
That's the word, review. Yearly review. I think now's probably just the time to end it. So, unless you have anything else to say, you're not going to make me play a crazy game this week.
Oh, hell no.
No, well, we'll just say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, fade out peacefully. There we go. That's what we should do.
With sleigh bells.
So, on a personal note, this year's been good fun because we got to do this podcast, and we're going to carry on into the future. But I just want to thank everyone out there who's supported us and listened to us. Please feel free to give us a Christmas present by giving us a rating on iTunes and by liking our Facebook page. So from me and the rest of the team and from me and the rest of the team, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you next year. Bye.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, everybody. Now, sleigh bells.